When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and good morning, everyone. Welcome to Jason Mackey's First 10, the quick hit podcast that gets you ready for the day. Busy weekend to recap around here. Not necessarily a good one, at least in terms of the Pirates, but a lot going on, a lot speculated about nonetheless. And before we get into all of that, I want to remind you that if you're a baseball fan, you'll love it at the North Shore Tavern. The interior, it's wall-to-wall Pirates, and they sponsor us. Obviously, there are appetizers, entrees, cocktails, and steak and seafood on a sizzling lava stone. Open every day, the North Shore Tavern across from PNC Park is Pittsburgh's home for steak on a stone. Could also be your place to drown your sorrows in a post-game cold one. If you were over there any time in the past few days, it has not been good. Sunday's game was one of the ugliest that I have covered with this franchise in a little while, and I'd like to think that's saying something. If nothing else, I have seen some pretty awful baseball getting on the beat in May of 2019. Things were reasonable, but then we had 4-24 coming out of the All-Star break. You had 19-41 of the COVID season, then 2 years at 100 or more losses. And, well, this shouldn't be happening at this juncture. I think a lot of you listening and watching this would probably agree with me. I also, and that's the negative side of it, I would caution that there are 140 games left, so things can and probably will change. That being said, I don't think you should excuse any of this. It's now 6 losses in a row. Pirates started 9-2. They're 2-9 since, and their offense is just doing absolutely nothing. I think it's tough to maybe draw some conclusions individually, but writ large, they're not dangerous enough. They're not dangerous at all. It is infuriating in some ways. And we're going to talk about what's ailing them. We're going to talk about what routes they can go, if any, to juice more runs out of this lineup. But right now, it's just, it's not even just offense. On Sunday, it was Martin Perez's command from the very beginning. Walked 2 of the first 3 hitters. It was not good. And he was the first to admit that. I'm also not going to freak out too much over Martin Perez. Even dating back to spring training, he's been excellent. Guys are going to have bad starts. Fine, whatever. One of the things that kills me about this team, and Ben Cherington talked about it on his radio show before the game, defensively, the Pirates should be so much better than they are. I mean, we knew O'Neill Cruz was going to be a bit of a problem at shortstop. He's tied for the major league lead in errors with 5. They've had communication issues in the outfield. Didn't like the throw to second from Rowdy Tellez to Jared Triolo. That's a play that just has to be made. And Jared Triolo made a tremendous play earlier in the game, sprinting out to shallow center field to catch that. But, I mean, you got to catch the ball in that situation. O'Neill Cruz has to catch the pop-up hit to him, and Jack Sawinski, frankly, should have taken over and just caught it. Shouldn't even have been O'Neill Cruz's ball. They're just giving away outs, I think was the quote that Derek Shelton used, and it was appropriate. And they're not creating enough of a margin for error for themselves where they can afford to give away outs. Their offense, again, some numbers that I was looking up during the game and just shaking my head at this, 29th in total bases, 28th in runs, 27th in on-base percentage, 29th in slugging as well. And this is over the past 9 games, past 11 games, I'm sorry, when they've lost 9 times. It's not good. What can be done? Well, if you could wave your magic wand, it would be to get Henry Davis out of his current funk, get Andrew McCutchen out of his current funk. The biggest funk is O'Neill Cruz, 37 strikeouts, leads Major League Baseball, just far too many. It's not any one thing either. That's something that kills me about all this stuff. People watching the games on TV like have their problems diagnosed. Say, hey, Cruz, he needs to swing more. No, well, sometimes. And sometimes he needs to not swing. It pitches outside the zone. I mean, what happens a lot of times when these guys get in between is a term that Derek Shelton uses, but basically your timing's all screwed up. And a lot of their timing is all screwed up. And that's happening with Cruz. I do think they're asking too much of young hitters. That is something that I think is fairly consistent, and you can blame it on Andy Haynes, but it's not just Andy Haynes. I mean, you're asking guys to have like a crystal clear picture of the strike zone. Not everybody's built that way. You know, O'Neill Cruz is not a terribly cerebral hitter. And I don't say that I think he's stupid, because I don't. It's far from it. I think he's a highly intelligent player. I think he's a feel guy. I think see ball, hit ball, he has the athletic traits to do that. You start turning him into Larry Walker or somebody that excels on plate discipline, that doesn't work. I want O'Neal Cruz to use his natural athleticism, his long levers, his power. I want him swinging free. And you know what? Sometimes there's going to be some swing and miss in there, and that's okay. I live with it. We've seen backsliding since O'Neal Cruz was really good in spring training and was frankly making some of those swing decisions almost at a perfect clip. But he likes hitting at the top of the order. He's confident hitting at the top of the order. I'd let him be him. Try to encourage him to be him and say, if you strike out, if you swing and miss, that's okay. Swing hard again. You might hit it. I just think they need to strip away a lot of sort of the paint that they've put on the walls here with guys. You know, Jack Sawinski's another one. I would encourage him. If you're over swinging, I would rather see a guy over swing than stare at strike three. And Sawinski, I think, is the biggest defender of that. Henry Davis, not a big stare at strike three, but I mean, you can tell he's going through something as well. Andrew Destin wrote a little bit about this and moving his arms, his hands, just adjusting things with his swing, trying to find something, hasn't really been able to do it. I don't know what more you can do. I mean, with Henry, it's going to be a little bit interesting when Yasmani Grandal comes back. Joey Bart's been a better catcher. I really like Henry, but I don't see how you stick with him. He's optionable to the minor leagues. Joey Bart is not. Probably send him down and tell him work on stuff. So anyway, we need to see what happens with the Pirates. They need to dig themselves out of this hole soon. As I wrote from my column today, Paul Skeens is probably not far away. Not that this is like the big marking point that you have to get things in order for, but it is in a little way. You don't want this to drag on. You know you're going to get some national attention. You know it's going to be of a different feel. So get it together. All right, let's switch gears. I want to talk a little Penguins. Kyle Dubas met with us on Friday morning. I don't believe we had a chance in this session to address my thoughts on some of that stuff and how Kyle handled himself. I liked it. It was my first time being in a room hearing Kyle Dubas speak, live. I've listened to audio and video and all that stuff. But I thought it was pretty cool. He sits down and said, I wrote this in the column as well. I said, don't worry about raising your hand. I'm not going anywhere. I like that. And everybody had a chance to get questions in. But one thing I don't understand about what the Penguins are doing right now, in addition to running it back with seemingly the entire cast, because that's the message that I picked up from Dubas and even Mike Sullivan, it seems like they're either limited or not interested in making any changes. And after back-to-back years coming up short of the playoffs, when Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin both played all 82 games, Sid's still going the way he is, I'm not sure why you're going to keep doing the same thing. But something I understand even less, the goaltenders. Mike Sullivan, when he met with us on Thursday, essentially said, we like both guys. Almost seemed to intimate that they're going to have both guys back. Quote, we believe we have a tandem that's very capable. It wasn't that way with Kyle Dubas. He painted a much different picture, basically saying, I know that Ned has said a lot about him wanting to come back, but we're going to have to kind of see what that looks like. Even brought up Joel Blomqvist, which is fine. I mean, I am all for Joel Blomqvist if he is capable. And another thing Dubas said is they're going to be watching him in the American Hockey League playoff with Wilkes-Barre Scranton. And if he's good enough to come up, he probably will. Okay, fine. And trust more things to younger players. I think anybody can look at the Penguins now and then what they were in 15, 16, 17 and say that hasn't happened enough. You want to see younger players. You want to see new blood. You want to see guys develop into what they maybe can be. And Blomqvist is a part of that. But I look at it and say, they need to make some changes. They need to have more depth scoring. I'd like to create some opportunities to get that depth scoring with maybe a couple million dollars. So I'm probably going to float Tristan Jarry out there and see if I can get that 5.375. I think that's what it is, 5 and some change off the books. You pay Ned 3, you pay Blomqvist the league minimum, and you've basically figured out a way to spend $2 million more. Maybe that's on a fourth line center. Maybe that's on a bottom six wing. I don't know, but somebody to make those two lines something of a threat. It's just odd to me that you would go Jarry, you run it back when, nothing against Tristan, but he really hasn't won anything of consequence being here. And then you're going to bring Blomqvist up, a young guy who needs to play, and put him in a backup role. I don't totally understand that. If you think Nedeljkovic is going to maybe price himself out of the market, I guess, but I wouldn't make that comment. Now, I'm just a little surprised that they seem to, given what he meant down the stretch, And even Dubas stepped back and, again, very well articulated point about saying the narrative under which that Alex Nedeljkovic took over, it's a little bit inaccurate. Here's how it happened, blah, blah, blah. Like, almost to not blame Tristan Jarry for playing poorly, which he did. He also played well, and he was sick. And then Nedeljkovic was better, and they had no reason to go back to Jarry. All of those things are factually accurate. But when you look at next year, how do you just discount what Alex Nedeljkovic did, especially when you can get it for $3 million and it basically is Tristan Jarry's performance? You're saving money. So I don't totally understand that. There are some other things there that I do think their hands are tied. How many things are you going to do? I mean, obviously you're not going to move 87. Probably wouldn't move 71. Honestly, I like what he became with Michael Bunting here. I don't want to be the GM or the president of hockey ops responsible for shipping him out of town. I'm not sure they're a better team with Chris Letang gone, even though he's going to get some sort of surgery. And the power play is a concern, but with Michael Bunting in the mix, I thought he was a lot better. Maybe they look at Todd Reardon, the coach overseeing the power play. Maybe they make a change there. But just they are kind of limited in what they can do. We'll see more as the offseason unfolds. That does it for your morning First 10. Make sure you like and subscribe. You can get all the content from me and other Post-Gazette writers right here on our North Shore Drive podcast channel and YouTube channel. We'll be back tomorrow to talk a little bit more about, well, we'll see. See what the day brings.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.